Hey everybody, welcome to Surface Level, curious conversations about the Black and queer experience. I'm one of your hosts, Damon, and today, Jordan, Tony, and I are discussing conflict management. What emotional triggers do we have from past experiences? How can we view conflict as a way to foster deeper connection and growth? This is The Girls Are Fighting.
The girls are fighting.
No! I love that phrase.
The girls are fighting.
It's just like, it's one of those phrases that just brings me so much joy.
It was born out of trauma.
Because you're a gun aside.
The girls are fighting.
I mean, she was live on the scene.
It applies to so many things in the comments, actually, in real life. Like, there's so many at work.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta, the girls are always fighting.
The girls are always fighting.
Perpetually.
We can't do more talk to Atlanta. I'm joking.
I'm not laughing.
You are.
Okay. So today we're going to play a game that was... I was looking up, like, conflict management solutions and, like, games that they have for that.
Okay.
So this one is called Said, Heard, Meant. And with this... actual thing. The goal of the activity is to promote clearer, more forthright communication and to avoid conflict based on misinterpretation.
Mm. Ooh, so child, I thought it just reminded me. I said what I said.
That ran through my mind.
Said it, heard it, meant it.
Yes.
Not me thinking in memes at all times. I'm like, yes, this is Nini.
Idiots. So I'm going to throw out some scenarios from the community and some personal ones.
Okay.
From what was said. Tell us what you hear, and then we're going to, like, deduce what people meant.
What was said?
Okay.
Okay.
So first, if a Black person says, if you like it, I love it. What are you hearing from that, and what do they really mean? Tony.
Noted. You hate it.
You hate it?
You absolutely hate it.
That's what they meant? Nothing more, nothing less?
That's what they meant. That's what they said. They said what they said, but they meant something completely, totally different. You actually just told me, like, I can go kill myself, basically.
That's what you said.
Like, and I love it. Oh, great. You hate me.
I mean, if they say, if you like it, I love it, they don't love it, and they're very confused why you even like it.
This is what they really mean. Why do you like it?
But they would like to move on and not talk about it any longer.
That part.
All right. So
expeditiously.
If a Black person says, that baby been here before. What are you hearing? And what do they actually mean? Jordan.
That baby been here before?
Mm-hmm.
The baby look old.
The baby has a spirit, an old spirit.
The baby has a story.
The baby's ugly. I don't know, child, but if the baby look like they 90, that's not a compliment.
The baby has an old face.
An old soul.
An old soul, yeah, that's what it is. When someone says they've been here before... Well, that baby bit, because, like, there's a difference when it's, like, a toddler, a kid, a young kid, where it's just, like, they're wise beyond their years. But in this case, if it's that baby been here before.
Okay.
I was thinking physically, like, how they look.
Mature.
Mature.
All right. So if a Black person says, you know, he just got a little sweetness to him.
Oh.
What are you hearing and what do they mean, Tony?
It's giving cunt. Yeah, it's at, you know, when they said, like, a little sweetness, a little sugar in their tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yo.
It's giving, like, a Keke Palmer chicken wing.
This one got think it means.
I do. This one got a little sweetness to it. It's giving, you know, a limp wrist. It's giving a switch. It's giving a cross leg at the ankle or at the knee.
It's soft.
And then, like, you know, he's...
You know, he's...
How you doing?
All right. Turning inward. I'm going to ask you, and then you have
Let me
to
turn
say
inward
what you mean.
Now.
All right, so, now, Phaedra.
If Jordan says, I'm sure it's fine. Tony, what are you hearing? And Jordan, what do you mean when you say that?
And he's grappling with the thought process of having to, like... Get along to go along. Is that the phrase?
Mm-hmm.
Go along to get along. Like, he's going along to get along, but he actually is like grappling, like going through it in his mind.
Jordan,
he can't take.
If I say it's okay, it's fine.
He's like, okay, I'm fine. It's fine.
That means I have no more energy left to talk about this for the day, maybe forever. But it's all noted.
Mm. Okay, so Jordan, if Tony says, you don't have the license to say that to me, what are you hearing from that? And then Tony, tell us what you mean.
When Tony says you don't have a license, I basically think that he's saying shut the fuck up. Yeah, I think that's what he's saying.
That's his... Yeah. His work voice of saying.
Yeah, that's essentially it. It's like at the end of the day, and that's another one. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day.
I'm like, at the end of what day?
At the end of every day. You can don't compare yourself to me. Mm-hmm. Never compare yourself to me.
All right. And y'all go however you want. If I say I'm not going back and forth with you about this, what are you hearing and what do I mean?
I'm not going back and forth with you about this in front of these people.
In front of these people.
Are you going to add to it?
You got an attitude? You're going to do this in front of these people? Damon will actively call me and Jordan these people.
Actively.
Actively.
I'm like, are you talking about me?
Yes.
Am I these people?
You are these people.
Child. Yeah. If you say that, what's the actual thing you said?
I'm not going back and forth with you about this.
Yeah, I think that's it. Like, it's case closed. Next case.
I think that if Damon says that, he thinks that you're stupid.
You're stupid. You're an idiot. These fucking idiots.
I can't even have this conversation.
I will not confirm or deny.
We know the truth.
Absolutely.
All right. So for the last episode of our Fire series for Earth, Wind, and Fire for the season, we're going to talk about conflict because, I mean, what's more fiery than a fight?
Ooh.
So let's start with how we deal with those things. So addressing conflict head on versus avoiding it. Which camp do you fall into? And what have you kind of learned are the positives and negatives of this strategy? Tony.
Well, I mean, when it comes to conflict, I tend to think that it's best to rip the Band-Aid off. Mm-hmm. You know, at this big age, when possible, like, let's just have the conversation. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Let's talk about it. Let's do it so that we can move on and not fester in this moment. And it's not the easiest thing to do. So there are, mm-hmm, a few pros and cons that you asked for, right? So I think that on the pros side of it, it's like 99% of the time I walk away feeling relieved. You know, even if someone's feelings got hurt, I, mm-hmm, feel better, and that's worth my peace of mind. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about things being left swept under the rug, like a lot of times that leads down a road to resentment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think resenting someone is actually, like, having resentment is worse than just, mm-hmm, hearing my truth.
Yeah.
And hearing it expeditiously. So on the con side, I think that you got to read the room, you know, even though I like to rip the Band-Aid off, it's not, the Band-Aid might not always need to be ripped off
right there,
right then and there in the moment. You know, sometimes you got to take a beat and go back and, you know, assess and then come rip the Band-Aid off and figure out, you know.
Let me come in the bathroom. Let me take this Band-Aid off of you.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, I want the person to pick up what I'm putting down. Mm-hmm. So I got to make sure that, like, they're receiving my message. If I just rip the Band-Aid off, all you heard was the Band-Aid rip off. And, like, right, you're like, ouch.
Right.
As opposed to being like, okay, that hurt, but, like, I feel better. You know, mm-hmm, the bruise is, like,
it's going healed. Down. You're healing.
So that's what I think about. You got to read the room. And then I think, and I know that we respond to things based on emotion. Mm-hmm. And when emotions are running high, sometimes it's best to take a beat. And sometimes it's emotions running high when you're, like, when you are under the influence of whatever your vices are. And, mm-hmm, so when those cases happen, I am like, okay, let's not talk about this right now. It might seem passive, but I'm like, we are fucked up. We shouldn't have this conversation right now. Like, let's take a beat and come back sober so that we can actually hear each other, because I might say some shit that I can't take back, mm-hmm, in this moment. And words mean things. Like, once I say some unsavory, unforgivable, you know, mm-hmm, shit, then, yeah, you kind of always have that in the back of my mind, like, this motherfucker really,
right,
he, mm-hmm, said that to me. You said that.
You said that.
remember when you told me that I was just
yes.
Jordan. I'm definitely avoiding conflict more likely than engaging in it. I think that the positives and the pros of it is that I have a greater peace of mind in that moment. And that's usually why I decide to avoid conflict, just because conflict can be so emotionally and mentally taxing. Also think that, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily know how to have it, have conflict that's built on the goal of resolution. And so when I recognize that, it's less about like me getting my point across and me just being like, actually, I kind of see the road this is about to go down and I just don't even feel like it. Obviously, there's cons to avoiding conflict. Tony, you mentioned it. I think that's the biggest one for me, at least, is resentment. You don't bring up things enough to friends, or, you know, just people you have to interact with often. And then the little things sort of build up. And then over time, you may find that you end up really just not really respecting who they are, or like you're sort of demonizing them in your mind, or villainizing them in your mind.
Very nasty work,
right? And it's just like you just, you know, and so yeah, that's not necessarily helpful for relationships that you want to keep. So yeah, I think that that's why the whole idiom of pick and choose your battles is so popular, because you really do have to decide. Like, I think that there's a use case for both of them, like knowing when a fight just ain't worth it, and knowing when this is now or never, or, you know, or it's just going to continuously get worse.
I mean, I don't have too much to add. I think yes, I lean more in the camp of the here and now. I've tried to exist somewhere in the middle, because I agree with you that there's a use case for both. Timing is kind of everything. If I hadn't had a couple cocktails, well, actually, no, I don't need a cocktail. If I'm mad, I'm just going to be fucking mad. So, like, generally, like, if it's a thing where I'm like, this is about to spiral, and, like, I'm not in the space to have a calm and collected conversation, no matter what the scenario is, it's just like, okay, let's give it a moment. Because, like, so that's... I don't know. That's the biggest con. It's just like when you're of that moment, like every moment not for addressing, let's put the cards on the table. Like everything is not the Real Housewives, and we don't need to be sitting at every dinner and it becomes a thing. The dinner from hell every time. It's like
every
that's just
dinner
not
we pulling up to the red table.
Please spare me. Please. I'm not RSVPing for it anymore. I mean, speaking of, you know, calm and collected, let's talk about the opposite. Let's talk about like the shit that really pisses us off. So like when you're having a conflict with someone, like give me an example of like a scenario that really takes you into a space where you react negatively, and maybe just give us a little bit of insight as to like how that trigger came about, whether from like your previous life experiences. Damon, let's start with you.
You know, I being passive aggressive really, really drives me up a fucking wall when people do. And like we're all guilty sometimes, but some people lean more into passive aggressiveness.
Yeah. I hate when people do that.
You do, you hate it.
I do.
My least favorite thing ever.
And you know what it's because if I'm upset, you know it, and it's very clear. And what I've said sometimes is just like when people don't express being upset, or their anger, or whatever we want to term we want to use for it, in that way, like it's like you're like nasty nice, and then like people kind of like, oh no, they're not really doing that. I'm like, I know this person, I know what they mean, and like nothing drives me further up the fucking wall than that. And it's just like. Then now I'm hollering, and it's just like, and I think it also like part of it was in like like a past like really negative relationship I had as well, where my partner at the time was just a very social butterfly person, and like everybody loved him, and like it would become this dynamic of like there's this outward face of a thing, and then there's like this dark side of it.
Ooh.
And like that Two-face. Mix of things would Jekyll just like Hyde. Drive yes. me up a fucking wall, and like we would just get like it was an abusive relationship, and we. Like there were just parts of it where it was just like, this is so unrealistic of like who you really are.
It's so crazy. Like, yeah. Nothing is worse than Two-Face. Like someone who is just completely night and day, depending on
never know what
who they're around.
Yeah.
And you kind of, you're like, you kind of look around like,
is it just me?
Does anyone else see this shit?
Right.
But sometimes it's just you because no one else knows what's going on.
No one knows
on.
the depth of certain people. And I think some like individuals that are like super social sometimes use that in like a way of advantage of like hiding the darker parts of them sometimes. And then like it becomes just like, nah, I'm crazy.
And like recruiting.
Yeah. And it just becomes like this. I'm just now like, nah, I'm the daggone villain. Tony.
Oh man. Well, honestly, it takes a very special person to really get me out of character easily. Like mm-hmm. I don't
really see that happening.
It takes
often.
A really dark-sided individual to get me there. And so when we talk about what really grinds our gears and pet peeves, so I dislike very much when someone gets around mixed company. And then all of a sudden, every joke that they make is to my detriment. Mm. So it's like, I don't know if that comes from insecurity or what that is, but now I'm the butt of all your jokes.
Mm.
And you're trying to make these people laugh, and it's just like, it's not funny. I also dislike very much when someone tries to rope other people that may be witnessing like our conversation and like rope them in to get them on your side.
Yeah.
It's giving girl... We are having this conversation. Right. Like, stop trying to get buy-in
from the peanut gallery. It's like right. so biased. It's,
right.
like,
it's just like, wouldn't you say you shouldn't slap people in the face?
And then
you're
just like
but did
like,
you tell them you stomp punch me first? You missed that part.
I'm like, why you word it like that? Why you word it like that?
Yeah, like that for me is problematic. And then I also dislike when a person doesn't want to be wrong so bad that they just start saying anything out their mouth. When you like going back and forth, they just start saying the most frivolous, random, just like carrying mm-hmm. on with their like whatever they need to say that kind of like just deflects from the actual conversation we were having. That drives me up a wall because it's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
What's happening here? And so from past experiences, like I've learned what my triggers are. And so now I can self-regulate when mm-hmm. these things are happening. And I'm like, I'm not entertaining this. Like it's given, like you can really shut it down more quickly. And, you know, I learned how not to let people use those things to ruffle my feathers.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, not today.
In the words of Damon, not today. In the words of Damon, I'm not going back and forth with you.
I'm not.
No.
That's when you have to identify like, this conversation is silly.
Because you're stupid.
Exactly.
Because you're stupid.
What I can't stand in a conflict.
Mother has a list.
No, it's only
I've
one.
I've been waiting
only,
for my turn.
It's only one thing. Do not try to make me out to appear like I don't know what I'm talking about or, talking like, oh, like you don't even know what you're talking about or like that sounds stupid or that sounds like, do not talk to me like that. That will send me into like, now it's like I have to discredit everything that you're saying. Now I have a lot of time.
Now I have all the time in the world.
I have all the time once you start trying, and let it be in front of a group, and now you have a group of people wondering like, is Jordan stupid?
Like, now you got an audience? Don't worry, baby, I'm a performer.
I'm just like,
not having a group of people think, is Jordan stupid?
Hello? And now I gotta prove it, that yo, I'm not.
You have a whole thing happening in your head, baby.
Listen, I'm going off. And I think that from like life experiences, growing up, I had, I did not like adult authority.
Cussing not, adults out?
No, I actually follow rules.
Okay.
What I didn't like is adults being blatantly wrong.
Oh, yeah.
But then because I'm a child, mm-hmm. I have to accept their incorrect information as fact.
Mm-hmm.
and I just have to like shut up and do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That used to send me growing up. And honestly, I got into a lot of trouble because of that with teachers.
Jordan, stop talking back. Members. But they're wrong.
I had to go, like a teacher tried to give me detention for something. I had to go to the principal and make my case.
Oh my God.
And all of that. The teacher ended up looking stupid.
She said, don't worry, I have a PowerPoint for my case.
I was just like, and so, yeah, like I don't know. And I take this mentality even with like my younger cousins and things like that. It's just like allowing kids to have the space to be able to like communicate. Like I really can't stand the sort of like power trip that a lot of adults go on with kids and thinking that they're always right. So I think that that's probably why I have a trigger of like people telling me that I don't know what I'm talking about. Cause a lot of times I feel like it's just coming from just trying to shut you down and shut you up as opposed to like really investigating what I'm talking about. And so, yeah, it's just, you know, a lot of really silly people, that get on my nerves in that aspect. So don't piss me off and know what you're talking about and have your sources ready.
Your sources. Do I need to show you the receipts?
I need you to cite the case. Hello?
All right. So we already talked about our triggers, but let's talk a little bit about our emotions. So we know what our triggers are, right? Like how are we, to Tony's point, how are we regulating that a little bit better these days? How are we managing them so that we can actually engage into these conflicts in a healthy way? Tony, let's start with you.
It made me think of Emotions by Mariah Carey. I love that song.
I didn't know
song.
We were going with Mariah Carey or Destiny's Child. I was just like, okay.
Oh, and then I was just right. I like both of those emotions.
Okay.
And then I'm on the emotional. We could just go on. This is a game now. I turned the segment into a game.
A game within a game.
I love that. So I do want to start here, though, because...
Not right now.
You know...
he know what he's talking about.
Well, yeah, I have my sources.
As you should.
Speaking of sources, I'm going to cite the case. So on beyondintractability.com.
I was going to say on Beyonce.com.
On Beyonce.com. It says that when it comes to emotion, it says the intensity of an emotion often signifies the importance and salience of an issue and reveals underlying values of disputants. Thus, the more personally relevant a situation seems and the more negative feelings parties experience, the greater potential for destructive conflict. So basically, this is saying to me that what you deem and what you find important is really what's going to trigger your emotions. So if someone is making you out to look stupid in front of people, that's important. You don't want to look stupid. It's important to you to not look that way. And so you're going to give the girls a show and what they came to see. And so the thing about it, though, when I thought about this and I like took a step back, I was like, pride and ego come into play. And that's when things get really nasty. Mm-hmm. That's when it's really nasty nice. You know what I'm saying? And it's almost to the point where now what we were disputing over is like the ego and the pride has now outweighed.
Right. I don't even know what we're fighting about.
The situation.
Don't matter.
You know?
Matter.
Well, that's what...
I'm knee deep in drama.
But that's Ricard, isn't that we?
That's literally like my last point there is like how many times have you gotten into an argument or something like that and then like you're like, what the fuck were we arguing about? I can't remember. Oh my goodness. What was it?
Right.
Because it became about the pride and the ego.
Right.
And so that took center stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, I think that, you know, we got to manage our egos. Like, whew, that's a whole episode. I won't even dive into like that because
put it on the list.
Yeah, we're gonna put that on the ongoing list. come back and hit you with another one.
You know, when we talk about emotions, I am a person that is very in touch with mine, quite viscerally, to a fault, sometimes. And I think one of the things that I traverse in life right now, that like I live with my partner and we're figuring out a bunch of shit, and not, I wouldn't say there's always conflict, but there are just things you live differently. You experience life differently. You try and do that in the same space. And when things don't go my way, I'm just like, I feel it all. You're going to hear it in the tone of my voice, the look on my face.
That's so true.
The expression in my body. And he's just like, why is everything that displeases you all of that? I'm just like, doom, I just feel it all. He's just like,
doom and gloom.
He's just like, but we're just talking about.
All right, I'm going to pack it up right, on. Right. We're going to try tomorrow.
Child. Exactly. He's just like, we're just talking about feeding the dogs. I'm like, don't matter. He's just like, so it's just like what, and the conversations that we have, it's just like, there are times in life where, and that level of expression of dissatisfaction or upsetness or whatever is warranted. And there are times when it's just like, take a breather, girl. It's not that deep. We're trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And like, again, from the past relationship experience, I had that everything was a fight and it had to be now. And everything had to be like a big blow up and it was visceral. And you had to know that I hated this thing about it because I'm defending myself verbally. You're like being violent physically, and there was just like this environment that like bred this need to like defend and like feel like you gotta know I hate everything about it. And it's something that I'm unlearning still.
Yeah, managing emotions is really tough. Like I don't know if it's like the Capricorn in me where like for a long time the girls were like, oh, Tony doesn't have emotions. Like, you know, he doesn't. I didn't show anything, and I think over time I've become more in tune with my emotions, but I don't know, like, and I don't know what, I can't even think about, like, even from childhood what that stems from. And how I just pack away, you know, the expression, being able to express that way. But now things, I'm a little bit more like, you know, I'll start crying, child, when things get a little bit emotional or when I'm feeling sentimental, it comes easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess life experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Helped. I think my emotions, so I hate when people say don't know what I'm talking about and I'm stupid. That doesn't happen often.
For the record.
For the record.
The girls.
For the record.
You were so proud.
No, but like, that wasn't the point.
Often,
that wasn't the point. The point was, like, most times I don't have a big reaction to conflict. Mm-hmm. Most times my gut reaction is to sort of emotionally detach from the situation. That's not really helpful for relationships with people who you care about. I think that for me, it's a lot going on at once. And
sorry, finish your thought. I just thought about something.
Oh, okay. Do you want to say it now before it leaves?
No, because God damn it. I meant to bring this article that I was reading.
What was the article?
It is by, there's a non-binary writer who I met when I lived in Boston, Aria Baker. And the article was about how silence, like in relationship and conflict is just as violent. And it reminded me of a conversation we were having about how you grew up with, like, your mom may have gave you the silent treatment instead of like reprimanding you or something. Yeah. And it was just about how like retreating and being silent in conflict it can be just as detrimental and harmful as like the opposite thing of it. So it was an article I read and I'm so angry that I forgot to like go back to it because I wanted to like bring a quote or something from it.
You wanted to do what from it?
It's fine. I'll use it for the quote this week.
It's fine.
Don't worry.
I figured it out. No, but I mean, that's 100% right. Like that's a coping mechanism. That's my defense mechanism. It's like, I'm not going to engage in like the expressive moment because for me, I don't really know how to navigate that. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really have a really strong filter when it comes to that. I feel like if I'm truly emotionally invested in something, I might say some really, really...
She's unhinged.
Some shit that you can't take back just because I'm there. Mm-hmm. And so instead, I choose to detach and starve the person of like my attention and stuff like that. But that's not helpful. And so what I have been doing to manage that is just trying to make small efforts with people who I am close with and who I have like an understanding with of like defending myself. So if I'm being spoken to in a certain way that I don't like, instead of just like, you know, walking away right after the comment and just sort of like removing myself from the situation, I might say, I don't like, don't speak to me like that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't like that. Mm-hmm. Or that's unnecessary.
Not right now.
And it's, you know, it's a, no, that's a big thing for me.
That's a really big thing.
It's a big
but it's
thing
also,
for me.
I'm just saying it's sexy. Like, it's giving, I like when someone just, you know.
You barely got a shirt on. Don't come up out of your top.
It's sexy. It's like, that, it's nothing. Nothing is sexier than someone who is sure of themselves that can be like, actually, I don't fuck with this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, so more of that. I mean, it's a good thing.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that what I find is that with people who I care about, if I position it that way, most times they respect it. Mm-hmm. And then we can actually have a conversation or a disagreement or work through a conflict in a way that feels a bit more safe for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I've been doing that a bit more, but it still requires practice because I've been so used to sort of just like, just detaching. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to the point of what we said earlier, like, I only got a couple of friends. I can't really be detaching from too many people. You know, like, good friends are hard to come around, come by. So, yeah, you have to, like, I have to tell myself that I have to be present mm-hmm. in those moments and that they're not just an excuse to walk away. You're not the bigger person by saying, oh, I'm not doing this right now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you are if it's getting wild, but like,
right.
A lot of times it's an opportunity to like gain some valuable understanding.
Yeah. Well, speaking of friends and conflict management, I want to talk about us. Mm-hmm. And what has creating surface level taught you about managing conflict as friends and business partners? Because this is a business. At the end of the day.
And maybe if you had one, you would know what it takes.
What it takes. Do you have what it takes?
But you don't.
You want to be on
But you don't. I definitely thought about, their little, it made me think of Top Model. I don't know why. Do you have
that
what it takes?
That was the Top Model. That was the, whatever.
We live in each other's heads all the time. But no, what have you learned?
You know, it's interesting because like, in friendship, you can disagree and, like, maybe give each other some space, take a beat. With this, like, or, like, you always don't have to resolve the thing that you feel differently about. Where here, we kind of have to resolve everything.
Pretty quick.
Yeah. Like, we manage everything mainly here by, like, a two-person, like, a majority vote. But even just, like, thing, like, Joe, we got in a fight in L.A. right before the fucking Moby talks. Not a but just like a disagreement. And she used her. I don't like to be spoken that way. I noticed it too. It was different. Oh. I remember when you said, I noticed it. It's a different. We haven't disagreed a lot lately, which is nice. Thank God.
It is.
But in our period of, I know what fighting with you is like. So therefore, I knew that that was different. Mm-hmm. And to hear you say it, it's interesting.
Yeah.
But what I would say is just like there are certain things where like, okay. We feel a lot of things, but like, is it more, it's more important for you to say, hey, I don't like this thing. It's more important. Like we had a chat afterwards. I was like, okay, girl, I got a little unhinged right in this moment. Like, and it's just like, let's squash this. We have a thing that we want to do because it's like, I mean, I'm not saying people are buying Renaissance World Tour tickets, but it's just like, part of it is just like, hey, we are creating a thing. We are creating or helping to create an experience with our community. And part of that experience is like our dynamic. And it's just like, we want to try and walk into those spaces, into this space as well, with the best representation of that or the most honest representation of that. I think there, like we've had instances where we've had a conversation about ruffles in our friendship and such, but generally it's just like, how can we stay on track? Because like the things are separate, but the things are also so intertwined between the podcast and like who we are as people. Like part of why the podcast is good because of the dynamic of our friendship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So like that's been the thing. It's just like in life, like there have been times where like we've had issues and like we're just taking time. It's just like, whereas this is like, hey, resolve it.
Yeah.
And you brought this up when we did the friendship episode. I think it's been kind of, it was quite integral to us getting through a very tough time that we had. And it was something that just like binds us a bit. And in the best way, not like, I mean, jail. Or like bound in a good way. Like,
okay.
Yeah. That can be good.
Tied up.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad that the girls have figured out this conflict resolution expeditiously.
Oh, you know what else I would say? Oh. So I have another thing.
Go ahead.
I also think it's good sometimes if something happens, to have conversations with just the two of us.
Just
because I found that more helpful. Like when I was like, I pulled you aside, I was like, let's just us talk. If like back to what we were talking in another episode this season. When it's a one-on-one thing, then like people are a lot less like defensive or feel like there's a stage and he's trying to make me look stupid in front of Tony.
Right.
And then Tony made and I hit Tony in the middle. And like, it's also not fair to you as a friend to be like, why am I in the middle of these fools again?
Again.
There they go.
It's like, he's watching, like
I was just trying to go
like
to
watching
breakfast.
A tennis match. But no, I was saying that I'm so glad the girls have figured out conflict resolution in a expeditious quick manner to be able to like have a moment, address the moment, and not let that affect the energy of the moment. So that was you know, growth to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think in addition to what Damon said, yeah, that LA moment was pretty tense. Standard disagreement, but not the best timing since we needed to like be the podcast in like a couple of hours,
right?
And in front of people who like, you know, were making plans to come and have that conversation with us. But yeah, I think the big takeaway that I got from there too is like, outside of also like speaking up and saying like, I don't like this, I was sitting next to Tony after that situation happened. I hadn't said a word to Tony about it because I normally my gut reaction would be, did you fucking see that? Like, what do you think? But I was just like, you know what? That's not going to help. That's not going to help because I don't want to get re-riled up.
Re-riled.
Like, reliving the situation. You know what I mean.
You know what the fuck I mean.
But yeah, no, I think that it's really like an outside. And for the record, this was a argument about business.
Yeah.
You know, this was a business forward, like, I think this should be the approach that we take. Oh, I disagree.
Right.
And so that's the challenge that we're up against, right? Like, we're not just dealing with you pissed me off and you didn't RSVP to my birthday. Like, you know, we have like these work disagreements too, and we're all very different people.
Yeah.
Who have different I mean, I think we have a singular vision about the podcast, but we all have very different like life perspectives and outlooks and things like that we bring to our decision making. And so it's been a test, you know, like everybody's had the feeling of being outvoted about something that they felt really passionate about and made the choice to not turn it into something unproductive, which could happen, you know, if you're dealing with a lot of ego and a lot of pride.
And I also think it's important. Like, what I think we've, like, I remember something I got outvoted on, and I was like, let me take this away. And I was like, I'm going to come back. I was like, I'm going to come back very calmly with a fully research. We were talking about someone that you all wanted to have on the show who I did not, just so you all know what I'm thinking, what I'm talking about.
I know exactly who you're
talking
about. And
then I was just like, okay. And then I remember we were like, we went away. This was like maybe a month later. It was where we were prepping for the season. I had a whole essay prepared. but knowing who I am, I know that that's important for me to get the point across, or the just like my thoughts across. And ended up not having to do all that because it kind of like the girls came to their senses. But I think that like it's important to like know yourself. Like I knew in that moment, I'm like, I'm not gonna have this conversation in a productive way, and I really don't want this to happen. So let me take this away and come back to them in the way that will be best, not just for me, but like for our conversations and like for our business at the end of the day.
Yeah, like it's definitely a exercise on patience. And you know, patience is a virtue, and I think we've learned to be more patient with each other in this process. And contrary to what anyone might think, like behind the scenes, we actually do work very well together because we are, like you said, we have our own defined lanes.
Yeah.
And we allow each other to be in those lanes. And you know, we keep saying we have this democratic process, and I think that's the best way forward, but it only works if the individuals that are voting stay true to their individuality mm-hmm. and not take on like, okay, it's not, we don't gang up on each other with voting.
Right.
We
it's vote. Not political. It's like, what do you want? Right.
Yeah. We vote how we actually feel about a thing. And then lastly, it's like, it was kind of mentioned earlier. It's just like with an intimate relationship. You don't go to bed angry with each other. Like now for us, we have like, we have mechanisms in place that bring us together. So it's like, by the time we meet next week for our standing meeting, y'all right. should have resolved the
don't
issue.
Don't come back here next week with that bullshit. That's what Tony's saying.
Yes.
Were you in it too, Tony?
I guess I'm in it too, child.
Y'all don't know about that.
Yeah, that's for the inside.
So, in close, in summation...
This more homework?
Huh?
This more homework?
Is this your homework?
I said there's more homework.
Oh, there's more homework. Well, there's yeah, there's more homework.
Okay.
There's always work. There's always work for the girls. And I want to for us to talk about like in what ways can we challenge the idea that discomfort and conflict are always destructive or harmful to relationships and instead view them as opportunities for deeper connection and growth. So,
okay. Yeah. You know, I think even in the question, I always rail against the word comfort. Because I always want to be very specific. I don't mean y'all shouldn't rest. I believe in resting. I'm currently reading Rest as Resistance. My therapist gave it to me.
Should you believe in?
I'm reading Rest as Resistance.
Oh, okay.
I believe in rest. So yeah. When I say don't. I rail against the word comfort. I don't, that's not what I'm saying. But mm-hmm. what I mean is like settling into something just because this is how it has always been or like keeping the peace is like something that we should always be kind of targeted towards growth. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of the things that like with my current partner, the thing that I've enjoyed the most, like people say like, what is the thing that like made you like become this serious with this person? It was just like, I met someone that like I felt strongly enough that I could listen to them when they disagreed with me. Mm-hmm. Like to your point where you're like, you look stupid. I don't feel that way ever when we're having conversations.
Yeah.
And there's just like a level of respect that I have for him. And like that to me has been, even the tough things are part of growth. Like I was in therapy and I was saying to my therapist, like, hey, we had a lot of back and forth this week. But like when I think back on that week, I also think about the resolution of those things. I also think about the growth that came from them. So like it's not just like Sparta where we're just like it's like a fight to the death and whoever wins, wins. Like yeah. That's not what it's about. I think... I had one other thought and I forgot what it was.
It'll come to you. Let him use you.
Let him use you.
Let him use you, Lord.
I was also going to say, just like I've said on like the show before, like you can like break up with people and like ending of relationships doesn't have to be some like negative, nasty thing. I think that conflict and like presenting different opinions, presenting varied opinions, presenting something like that makes you step outside of your ego to the point you were making earlier is important and is something that we should continue to take in, particularly with those that are for friends with our yeah. partner, with very close family, because when people have your best interest at heart, I think that they are loving on you maybe in a way that you don't always immediately recognize because mm-hmm. it's not how you would do it, but right. it's important.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think for me, it's very obvious that engaging in conflict has a lot of positive outcomes, such as just having a wider understanding of other people. So I think the homework that I want to give is something that I've been trying to practice when I'm entering into uncomfortable conversations with people. I think, for starters, taking a deep breath. For people who do get overwhelmed, that actually does help. At least it helps me not say something I don't want to say. And it gives me, you're allowed to take a moment. You don't have to be just like, what is it? Like, you don't have to be quick so just to say right. something back. You can take a second, process what you heard, and actually work through what you want to say in a meaningful way. I think another thing is just like looking at the other person as a full human and not just the antithesis to your point of view.
Your adversary.
Yeah, like it's not a binary. It's not I'm right, you're wrong. Mm-hmm. And so like coming into a space being like, no, like this person has something that they want to share, something that they want to get off their chest. Maybe take it as your responsibility to try to figure that out. I think another thing is knowing the difference and actively working against the idea of listening to win versus listening to understand. I think sometimes people are really engaged in conflict because they're trying to hear you say some shit that don't add up so that they can be like, gotcha, well, actually, bitch. Exactly. Right. Like, I don't like when you go into a conflict, actively searching for that gotcha moment. No one wins. I mean, yes, you win the fight because if you're thinking about it as like a spar,
right?
But like you don't resolve. You don't. There's no resolution. So
we need a resolution.
Listening to understand, I think, is really important. And when you feel like someone's saying something just out of the heat of the moment or super emotion filled, asking more questions. Damon has been doing this a lot, and I've been learning from it, where like someone may say something that you're just like, the fuck? But you don't say the fuck.
Right.
You say, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. Like, why do you feel like that? Because honestly, sometimes people have never even articulated some of these crazy things they say, or some of these, like, that's, you know, true. These things you consider as sort of unruly or what, all over the place. And sometimes they just need the opportunity to say it out loud to maybe figure out what you already are trying to like point out. And then, yeah, I just think that, you know, also just understanding too, going into it, that there is an opportunity for you to learn something. So if you're going, you shouldn't be going into it like, I want to win and I know I'm right. Maybe you do know you're right, but there's always an opportunity to learn about what the other person is sort of going through and what their perspective is. So it takes a lot of practice. I'm not there all the way. I'm not perfect.
He's still working with me.
But still working on me.
Working hard on me.
But, you know, I think that those steps are helpful if you want to get to a point where conflict works in your favor. So
yeah, listen, nobody wins when the family feuds.
That's what the songwriter said.
There's always a lesson to be learned and perspective to be gained. And so that's where I come from when I am thinking about conflict. I'm always thinking about, like, if I put myself in the other person's shoes, how would I feel? And that helps me to, you know, find some balance, I guess, you know, to get on some sort of, like, leverage there. But I will say that anyone who says that they don't have disagreements or conflict like with their partners or with friends or with fam, like, people who say that to me, like, oh, we never argue, I'm like, you're lying through your teeth.
Right.
And but you know what I say to that? A lie don't care who tell it. So that's, you know, I feel like most people in healthy relationships, whatever that relationship is, whether it's friend, intimate, what have you, have some level of, like, I think it's healthy to have like disagreements, but not, you know, not to the point where it crosses the line and then it becomes
fisticuffs.
Yeah. And for the homework for me, when it, like, I'm thinking about people who avoid conflict like the plague, and I want to challenge those folks and ask, like, why are you running from that? And is that healthier? Like, asking them the question, like, is that healthier? Do you think that, like, how is that serving you? And I want them to face that challenge and get to the other side of fear, because I think there's a lot of freedom to be had with healthy conflict. And that's just my two cents. So with that, that is all the time we have this week. If you've enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going. Let us know your thoughts and questions at surfacelevelpodcast.com. And remember, stay curious.